podcast.
Open the Isles Airport is owned and operated by Argyll Bute Council, and it provides a great alternative way to travel to the islands and enable people to access essential services, as well as being a great jumping off point for a bit of island hopping. And to open up the airport to get a little bit of a closer look for people, the airport is celebrating its 14th anniversary with an open day on Saturday the 25th of June from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And with me today is Tom Edelston, station manager at the airport, to talk more about the open day, what will be on offer and what work goes on at the airport. Here's Tom. Hi, Tom. I've got you with me today to talk about the airport. So first, tell me what your role is at Oban Airport.
My role at the airport is I'm the station manager. And what that entails is basically the oversight of the day-to-day running and safety of the airport operations. It doesn't just include Oban, but it also includes the islands, airports at Col and Colonsay as well. So I have a remit for all three to make sure that they're all operating safely. As you probably aware, we are licensed aerodromes, which means that we have to operate within parameters set by regulation. And of course, that's part of my role as well, is to make sure that we do operate within those parameters.
Yeah, absolutely. Safety is a big thing, and we'll come back to that. But part of the reason for talking to you right now is because you're planning an open day, so people will have the opportunity to get up close and personal with the airport and various displays and things. Tell people what's going to be on offer at the open day.
Yeah, we've decided that obviously after 2 years of restrictions, lockdowns and everything else, that as we started to move out and we started to get a little bit more into normality, we thought, well, what better way to bring a community back out than to have an open day at the airport, and also remind everybody of what the airport is here for as well. So we've had a couple of open days in the past. The last one was, believe it or not, 2016. So it's been that long ago. So I think, whatever people came last time will hopefully come again, and maybe even some new people who didn't get a chance to come last time. It's on the 25th of June. It starts at 10 o'clock and we're running through just the one day till 1800 or 6 o'clock in the evening. We've got quite a few attractions listed. The main one being the Catalina aircraft, which is an old wartime aircraft. It's actually a seaplane. The problem with it is that, of course, it's quite a rare item nowadays, and they don't really like to land it on the sea because of the salt water. So although it is primarily built for the sea, they really like to land it on inshore lakes or indeed at airports, which it has the capability to do. It is a returning visitor.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was lucky enough to see it at the last open day, and it's quite an unusual aircraft to look at. It's well worth a visit. I don't know if there's any way you could describe it, but it's quite unusual design, isn't it?
It was designed predominantly for wartime use, and although it was the production of this aircraft continued after the Second World War, this aircraft that's coming into us is actually one that's got a war record. So it was actually in operational use in the late, 1944, 1945 area. So, this is quite a privilege to get something like this aircraft in here. And of course, it's part of the collection down at Duxford. It's still flying, it's still operational. But of course, they like to go around and to various places to promote themselves as well as help out with things like our open day. But I would strongly urge people to come along, have a look at it. I believe they may be doing tours inside as well, so they can have a look inside the aircraft and maybe even get a feel for what those people must have endured during that period.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
to have it back again. And what else can people see at the open day? Because there's loads more.
Well, we've got at the moment we've got quite a lot of market traders, market stalls being operated. We've got we've got a display of old local authority fire tenders. We've got a display of our fire vehicles as well, the airport fire vehicles. We've got, believe it or not, a rodeo bull ride coming down. So I'm sure that will be quite popular. We've also got the classic cars, a local group who they've also been before. So yeah, we've got quite a few of them, and of course the local airline or the scheduled airline that flies from here, they're going to be doing scenic flights on the day as well. So weather permitting, of course, they'll hopefully do short trips around the bay and give people a chance to actually get airborne while they're here as well. So, and there are other attractions for children, you know, where they can you know, squirt a little bit of water at one of the targets, and you know, there's a few other things as well that we've got in the planning. But also we're going to have a raffle when people come in, and it's a £3 entry price for adults. Children are free, children under 16 are free. We've hopefully got as well some singing group, the Boogie Woogies. They've also entertained us before, so hopefully they'll be belting out a few tunes. As well as some refreshments and what have you. The other thing as well, of course, is that we do have a mascot. The airport mascot will be making an appearance during the course of the day as well.
Oh, brilliant. I know if people haven't been to the airport before, it's such a great facility, and this is such a great opportunity to go maybe try out one of the flights and see what it's like. And I mean, I'm lucky enough, I've flown out to the islands from there, and it's well worth it. I mean, you get some amazing views of the surrounding area, and maybe we can interest people in some of the scheduled services. So maybe for people who don't know, what are the actual scheduled services people can use at the airport?
The scheduled services that run from here are essentially on Wednesdays and Thursdays. On Wednesdays, it goes to Colin Tyree. And it's kind of a triangular route. It goes from here to Col to Tyree, Tyree back to Oban, and then in the afternoon it's a reverse fixture, so it goes from Oban to Tyree, Col and back to here. On Thursday it's the day of Colonsay and Islay, and basically it goes from Oban to Colonsay, then on to Islay and back to Oban, and then again in the afternoon a reverse fixture on that one. On the summer timetable, we also have a flight on the Friday and the Sunday, which goes to Col for the school children. And during the winter months, we have the flights going out on a Saturday and a Sunday, again for the school children, but it's on Saturday and Sunday, and it goes to both islands of Col and Colonsay. Obviously, a lot of those dependent on the school, whether they're actually open or not. And of course, depending on how many children are using it at the time, but I believe the airline will open it up for bookings for people as well once they know how many school kids are using it.
This may be the bit that people don't know, because that was a big part of how scheduled services came to operate. It started with those flights for the school children so they could get home from the hostel in Oban, back to the island, see friends and family at the weekend, and it's kind of grown from there. So they're a really key part of the services that the airport offers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And you know, to accompany the scheduled services, they do offer up scenic flights in the summer months as well now. So you know, to encourage more people to actually come along, and especially for tourists who may not have the time or the desire to maybe spend, you know, a whole day or even more days on the islands, but maybe want to go and see the islands from the air. And of course, you know, the as you already said, the scenery that you fly over when you go into these places. I myself was on one last week. Well, I was on two last week. And one day in particular, it was beautiful blue skies, and the scenery flying over was absolutely fantastic, breathtaking, in fact. And I think, you know, because you're only in a small aircraft and you're only flying at relatively low altitudes compared to the international airlines that most people are used to, you know, you do get a great deal of you know, scenic opportunity to take photographs and things. And yeah, I've got a pile of photographs now, which are very, very good. And capture it in different weather as well.
Yeah, I think those flights for me, they make, you know, that's part of the thrill of the visit to the islands, as if that wasn't enough, is the, you know, the, and as you say, it's not like your average holiday flight. It's so much more of a flying experience than, because you're at low altitude in a smaller plane. So it's, if you're worried about flying, maybe not for you, but if you're a flying enthusiast like I am, it's a fab experience. And I mean, just to show how technology's moving on, I mean, we talked about it sort of started off as sort of to a way of getting children back to the islands from school in Oban, but it's taking on a whole new dimension, because you're looking at your potential for a drone hub at the airport. And I know our economic development team are looking at developing that in connection with the rural growth deal, but that's also looking at not bringing children on and off island, but potentially taking school meals to some of the remote islands. Tell us about that project.
Yeah, I mean, the drone hub project is something that we're tapping into, because purely and simply, technology, as you've quite rightly said, is moving on. And I think certainly it was probably one of the only positives that really came out of the pandemic, was how much these can be utilized for various things. As we know, or has probably been widely reported already, they've already been used for transporting of medical supplies. And of course, all we're trying to do is we're actually looking at what other potential this has. And I know that Moya has mentioned school meals as one of the projects. And if you look at what's required just to get a school meal from point A to point B, you know, it can be, you know, quite hard in some places. And certainly when you look at the geography of the Argyll and Bute with the remoted islands and places that are not quite as accessible, you know, these still have primary schools and the like. And of course, you know, we're not able to fulfill our goal of getting these meals there. And if you look at that as one part of it, you know, that could expand into many, many other aspects of deliveries. Once the drone technology starts to increase, you know, it can only get more and more used. At the moment, there is a little bit of limitation placed on these because of the regulation involving airspace. But I am sure that within years from now, this will all change. And I think the next step is to try and show how drone traffic can integrate with ordinary traffic, you know, ordinary air traffic. And once that's been achieved, I think the only restriction then will be on the performance of the drone itself. But they're already being used for various other things, such as survey work. Airports themselves can now use them to survey their own airport, check the lighting. They've actually been used recently for bridge inspections. Because, I mean, obviously the bridge that actually leads to the airport here had to have inspections done to make sure that the bridge was going to be serviceable for many years to come. And of course, as a result of that and using the drones, they've actually come to realise that there's some work, remedial work needing to be done, which is now factored in and programmed in for next year. So, the drone technology thing is really, really, really going ahead. And we believe that Oban Airport, and this is in conjunction with discussions with some of the drone operators, we believe that it's an ideal place to have a hub, so that the drones themselves can be based here and then deployed to wherever they need to be deployed to, and then obviously return back here once the mission is complete.
A great opportunity to sort of expand the scope of the airport, and ideal for our sort of island geography and things.
The trials that you mentioned as well, they are actually beginning next week. We are literally doing a proof of concept to see that that a school meal can be delivered. As I say, that actually starting next week. It is only a proof of concept. So as you can imagine, there will be some people that say, well, you know, why would you do that when you can just go and get a Happy Meal from Tesco or whatever? But the problem is, of course, is as we already said, that the regulations based on what has to be delivered cannot just simply be delivered quite as easy to the island. So the proof of concept will be done more locally to the airport. But, you know, once we've done that, we then see what the problems may be, see what the pitfalls might be, and then what needs to be overcome. And then, of course, going down 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, that may be a standard thing to be delivering school meals to remote areas by drone. So,
yeah, and all sorts of other things maybe too. So,
yeah.
Watch this space. So we touched on the scheduled services and the school services and the drones, but there's a whole load of other aircraft that use the airport. You know, you can use it as a private pilot. But you also do a lot with emergency services, armed forces, and that sort of thing as well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we have a multitude of different aircraft coming to us for various reasons. We've got charter aircraft, which can range from private jets to twin turbine aircraft, both very, very capable of covering reasonably great distances. And as such, they're actually able to come into us direct from overseas. Yes, we don't like to boast that we potentially could be open international, but the reality is that we do have aircraft that do come into us from places like Switzerland, like Belgium, Norway, and various other locations. There are rules associated with those type of aircraft before they come into us. But once they've overcome that, then yes, we can get them in. Equally, we get a lot of business people coming in the private aircraft and chartered aircraft to do business in the area, which, as you can imagine, it's nice to see the aircraft coming in. But the reality is that these people coming on these aircraft are not only spending large amounts of money in the area, but they're also contributing to the development of the area by possibly becoming a business partner, opening a business or whatever. And there's even things that are in the planning phase at the moment, which we know that if they come to fruition will obviously mean that the airport will be used more by business people. So that's quite positive. Military we get in, yeah, they come when they tend to be doing exercises more than anything else. But generally NATO have two main exercises per year, usually off the west coast of Scotland. And during those exercises, we usually see an increase in the number of different types of military aircraft coming in, primarily helicopters, to be fair. But we do get helicopters of the size of a Chinook, which is quite significant. Private pilots, yeah, we're always open and welcome to private pilots. A lot now using our new fuel facility, which was only initiated last year. And of course, you know, having fuel for the smaller aircraft can be quite vital in getting to the next destination. So it's very good that we've got that. Even your microlights, your flex wings, we get clubs of all kinds coming. And of course, we're it's a wide variety, so no day is the same.
Yeah, I definitely recommend people that have got an interest to sign up to your Instagram page, because there's always great pictures of the different aircraft that come in, and as you say, such a variety.
Yeah, we got a few social media pages out there, and to be honest, it's more my team that deal with that, and they usually upload things, and usually we get a lot of good responses. They usually come and tell me when they've had a good response or a good reply. So yeah, it's good to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, no, they do a great job. And I mean, you touched on the private aircraft and jets and things, and I won't ask you to reveal some of the people you've had visit at the airport, because we obviously respect everybody's privacy, but you had one visit we can talk about, which was hosting Top Gear. Tell us what that was like.
Yeah, that was actually kind of strange, because that was actually in what I would consider just a bit of a, it wasn't the height of the pandemic, but it was during the, you know, during a significant portion of the pandemic. And of course, you know, we did want to try and get things moving as we possibly could. But of course, when the Top Gear team turned up to do the filming, everybody was almost kept at arm's length and distance. So, it was really quite strange. But the good thing was they came, they did the filming. They were all very, very polite, very, very pleasant, good team. The celebrities said hi. They were, you know, very, very approachable, obviously from the 2.5 meter or whatever distance we were at the time. But it was very good. The whenever things like this go ahead, for someone who is primarily focused on aerodrome safety, watching someone sliding down the runway on a pair of metal boots towed behind a vehicle, I kind of, you know, you kind of want to be maybe somewhere else apart from the airport that day.
Made you a bit nervous.
yeah, but they have such a great support team, and of course we were there as well to assist, it went really well. But you're quite right. Top Gear are one group that have been. We've got lots of other teams that have been out to film. And we do have an upcoming film occurring at the airport with two well-known UK actors. I won't give the names because I don't think they know that we know who they are yet. But obviously this is just part of a production which I think is going to go into some sort of film later on in the next year or so. So it will be interesting to see what happens. But we've had promotional videos for music groups and all sorts of things going on here. And also we have coming up, which I don't even think you're aware of yet, is we've actually have another interest from the Classic Malts Car Rally, who also do Le Jog. They do these two rallies twice a year. They came to us about 2013. We haven't seen them. They did it for a couple of years. And they've contacted me over the last few weeks, and they're looking to come in again this year. So fingers crossed we'll get those back in as well, and that'll be an interesting sight to see for those that are car enthusiasts.
Loads of interesting things, isn't it? I'm not surprised it often features as a filming location, because if people haven't been, you're right on the water. It's got to be one of the most picturesque airports in the UK. It's a stunning location.
Yeah, the location sells itself, really. I mean, we're just here to market it.
Yeah, no, it's fab. And I think you're having some school visits as well, just to try and give more people an opportunity to see what's on offer.
Yeah, we've always had school visits. Again, pre-pandemic, we were getting quite a number of visits in specific periods of the year. It has picked up again since probably about March, end of March this year. We've had, it's been a bit sporadic, but we had one, just the local Beaver group, which were 6-7 year olds, I think they were. They were in actually last night. So we stayed back after hours to help with the, to give them a good visit. We obviously helped them with their aviator's badge or whatever it's called. And of course, you know, we show them all around and open a lot of their eyes up to what airports are about. Cause a lot of people just think you get on a plane, go somewhere, come back, get off, go. They don't see what else goes on there, and they don't see. So it's, in a lot of ways, it's also trying to educate them as well as give them a good time. And as a result of that, we also have, obviously, people from the schools, you know, the work placements and work experience, and they actually come out to the airport as well. We've had a number of those over the years. One of them who's actually gone on to take part in a recent apprenticeship, modern apprenticeship, who's actually here with us today. And he's, you know, he's doing all sorts from weather observations, weather observing, and putting in the observations, to answering the phone, taking the PPRs, which is a prior permission request from aircraft operators. So, you know, there's a whole range for the young lad to do. But yeah, it's great.
Give him a shout out, Tom.
Yeah, it's Cameron Allen. And he was on, I think he did a podcast with yourself doing the modern apprenticeships a few weeks ago.
He did. No, thank you for the link. I was going to say, if people are interested, Cameron talked about that. And I think he does a bit of your social media for you, doesn't he? So
yeah, he's got all the access rights to put pictures and stuff, and he also actually can update the website as well. So he's doing really well. He's enjoying it. He's there's no doubt of you know, we always get you know, a great buzz when we see somebody who actually comes in and enjoys what they're doing. So it's really good for us.
No, that's fab. And I mean, you mentioned there the sort of weather monitoring and things. I think you've had some slightly unusual readings come out this year, haven't you? Back in February, the lightning strikes.
The lightning detector was actually, it was the brainchild of a German company, I believe, who wanted to put some detectors up around the, basically around Scotland. And obviously, in order to triangulate things, they need detectors at certain locations. And they'd asked if Oban could be one of those locations. And we said, well, that'd be great, as long as we can see what you're seeing without having to pay you for it. So obviously, that was always going to be a benefit when we get something for nothing. So obviously, when the guys installed it, they set it up so we could actually monitor this. And one of my crew commanders took a particular interest in this, and you know, he actually started to, when we get lightning storms in the area, he actually started to make it known on social media that, you know, that there's a lightning storms in the area. So not only does it help to identify how powerful or how many there are, but equally for anybody whose businesses or work is affected by said storms, you know, hopefully if they're monitoring the channels that we put it out on, they'll be able to take the appropriate action and stay safe. But yeah, obviously the storms move in certain directions, so you can usually see where it's heading as well.
Yeah, I think it was 494 strikes in one morning. It was incredible.
Yeah, that's right. It does pick them up, even the smallest ones, which are generally not even seen by most people. But it's very, very good at picking up all the strikes, and people just wouldn't understand that there was 400. They may have seen five or six, maybe, but you know, when you realise that in the area there's been 464, I think it was, or something, you know, you think, crikey. But it is a good piece of equipment. It doesn't really have an impact on the weather observations that the crew put in for aviation, which is, believe it or not, actually used by the Met Office in their forecasting arrangements for. So when they look at a forecast, or when you see a forecast on the news in the evening, some of that forecast will be based on information that's been given from the airport.
There's so many facets to it that, I mean, we've only scratched the surface, really. As you said, there's so much in terms of the regulation and everything, but hopefully it's given people a taster of what they might see at the open day. So if it's whetted people's appetite, definitely go along on Saturday the 25th and see for yourself what's there. It's I've been to one of the open days before, and it's definitely worth going. And who could want more when kids go free? It's fantastic offer. So thanks, Tom, to you and the team for all the planning that you've done to pull that off. I'm sure you'll get a good crowd, and hopefully the weather will be kind to you.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, because that's the one thing we just cannot control. So we're going to be doing sun dances, I think, for the next 2 weeks.
Good luck with that.
I hope Tom's whetted your appetite for the open day. I've been to one before. They're fantastic. So if you're looking for something to do, please do a go along on Saturday the 25th. It'll be a great day with lots to see and do. And if you're interested in finding out more information about the airport, you can go to openintheislesairports.com for more information.
Pippa's Podcast.